we had one candidate who had already pursued this particular seat in 2010 in the name of Linda McMahon, who, of course, was worth millions of dollars, and we knew that she was going to wage an extremely aggressive campaign. And at the same time, we had a fairly well-known congressman in Chris Murphy, who had represented the 5th Congressional District for several terms, and he was designated as the heir apparent.
You know, reading your book, I'm reminded of all the different controversies that were generated during that campaign. Mm. There was scandal and
yes,
and failure to pay taxes and all sorts of things.
Sweetheart deals.
Could you tell us if that played a role in making this race as contentious as it was?
Well, I think at the time, yeah, it did become somewhat of an issue because you have to go back to Senator Dodd. And one reason why Senator Dodd decided to retire from the Senate had something to do with a so-called sweetheart deal that he had with a mortgage company. And so here we go again with Chris Murphy.
He was accused by the McMahon campaign of having a sweetheart deal on his mortgage.
As well as, you know, some financial irresponsibility. I mean, it was brought to light that he had foreclosed on a mortgage once and had some proceedings against him. But then he also, with Webster Bank, he apparently received a very preferential interest rate on a home equity loan at the time that the McMahon campaign claimed was subprime. And so it seemed as if, you know, a scandal was brewing. But Webster Bank responded to it, and Chris Murphy responded to it. And in the end, I would say it didn't get an awful lot of traction.
There was also some political maneuvering going on, in that the Republicans claimed the top line on the ballot, and that was a big issue.
That was another interesting issue. Yeah, I mean, here in Connecticut, we say that, you know, whichever party controls the governorship gets the top line. But a Republican lawyer actually read the law and concluded that it was actually the party that gets the most votes that should have the top line. Now, you might say, well, didn't Governor Malloy's party get the most votes? And the fact is, it did not. And the only reason he got elected was because he had the cross endorsement of the Working Families Party. And so they went to court on it, and the Supreme Court very quickly said, you're right.
Talking about cross endorsement, that became an issue in the campaign as well, because Linda McMahon sought the endorsement of the Independent.
I think it was a very wise move on her part. The Independent Party, it's kind of difficult to actually determine what their ideology is, unlike the Working Families Party, which is clearly left of center. Yes, I know there were some orthodox Republicans, if you will, who claimed, you know, McMahon, by getting this cross endorsement, really demonstrated that she was more of a rhino than anything else, that is, you know, Republican in name only. But quite frankly, in Connecticut, if a Republican for a statewide race doesn't get that type of cross endorsement, it's going to be very hard to win an election. You can't just depend on your base if you're a Republican, because you're only talking about 20% or so of the electorate. You have to really have a strategy that reaches out to women voters first and foremost, and certainly that very large block of voters who consider themselves unaffiliated with either party. If you can't do that, you will lose the election.
Gary Rose, thank you so much.
My pleasure.